Got it. So it sounds like the recording has started. This is Dave Kaiser. I'll be introducing Lori today. She and I have worked together to make this possible, and she's got an absolutely wonderful teleseminar for you. So just a little bit about Lori and about this teleseminar. Lori and I met on Twitter, if memory serves, and we have a similar philosophy around time management and productivity. So we thought it'd be helpful to introduce her to my fans and followers through this teleclass. And I can tell you it's absolutely wonderful working with her. And I think those of you who choose to take her up on her offer at the end will get a whole lot of value from this. What I can tell you about Lori is that she is a certified productive environment specialist and professional organizer. She's the founder of More Time for You. I love that name. That's all you need to know. More Time for You in Palo Alto. And over the last 17 years, many of her clients and workshop attendees have simplified their lives by adopting the strategy that she teaches. So her primary focus is individuals and small businesses who want to create systems so that they and their employees can work smarter and more efficiently. She does on-site organizing and virtual coaching to clients in San Francisco area and beyond. And I want to encourage people to live tweet the event. So Lori's going to tell you about an offer that she's doing. I think it's a giveaway for those who are live tweeting. So the hashtag is #MTFY, More Time for You, MTFY Teleseminar. So I encourage you to do that. Hopefully you'll win the prize. And with that, I will turn things over to Lori.
Thank you, David. And I just want to say it's been really enjoyable to do this with you, and that the virtual world has brought us together through Twitter. And now we're on this teleseminar, and it's just been a really great experience. So thank you. So I just want to start off by telling you guys about the situation that we're in today. As you know, there's so much information coming at you. It comes in the form of print articles you receive, industry-related books that are going to help you in your career, or newsletters that you subscribe to via email. You sort of feel like you're expected to know everything, but really the information is just too much. It comes at you like an avalanche as you open your mailbox and see the weekly and monthly magazines you receive, or when you open your email inbox and see the large number of newsletters and industry-related information filling it up. Now, we're all thirsty for this knowledge. We like knowing things. We want to know what's going on in the world and in our industry. But trying to quench that thirst is sort of like drinking from a fire hose. It's just too much and too much all at once. Now, I'm a big numbers person, so I used to be an accountant in my former life, and so I really like statistics and numbers. And I just want to share a few things with you. There are 18,000 magazine titles published a year, and to stay current, you'd have to read about 47 a day. Now, I'm not expecting that you would be interested in every one of those magazines and every topic, but that's a lot of information coming at us, and that's just magazines alone. Also, the New York Times and the Washington Post average 72,000 words a day, which is equivalent to an average fiction novel. And that's just the daily paper. The weekend edition is more like 5 to 7 novels. So if you wanted to read them cover to cover, which most people probably wouldn't, but there's a lot of good information in there, and reading them cover to cover, even reading a large chunk of them, would take you hours or days to just get through them. So that's what we're up against and what's coming into our world. Now, in my practice as a productivity consultant, I use an assessment tool called a productive environment scorecard. It basically asks you to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 7 on various areas that might impact your productivity. And if you're curious, at some point later on, not now, you can go to my website and you can find the Productive Environment Scorecard under Business Solutions. But basically what that does is it asks you questions like, how quickly can you find a document when you need it? Or what productivity tools, how are they helping you, like your calendar or your smartphone? And you rate yourself. But one question that people consistently score low on is, I have a great system for managing my reading materials. And that's one of the main reasons why I thought this would be a very timely topic, because nobody is doing this well or has figured this out. From people who call me who are really organized and just want a little help with time management, to my clients who need a lot more hands-on help with piles all over their desktops and their offices. So I feel for all of you, as well as the people that I work with, because even in my own life, my reading pile, even though I have a system around it, it's somewhat under control, it's still constantly added to, and I never feel like I can get through it all. And with that pile comes a lot of negativity. It's a big emotional toll. It comes in two forms, and the first is sort of that guilt. I tell myself, I should be reading this material instead of checking email on the time or spending time on Facebook or social media, or why can't I just get through some of this stuff? I must not be that smart if I can't even get to the articles of the industry experts that I want to follow and that I enjoy reading. There's also that negative feeling like, I need to know all this and I'm not reading it, and I should be keeping up with all this information, or I won't be recognized as an expert in my field. Or even worse, you feel like I'll be in a social setting or at a networking event, and someone will bring up a topic that you know you have information on. You remember reading or seeing an article on your nightstand at home. You meant to read it. It was buried under a pile of papers, but you just never got around to it. And now you don't have as much information as you'd like to contribute to the conversation. Well, whenever you're thinking of yourself negatively or operating from guilt, your productivity is going to be impacted because you're not completely focused. You're distracted by all those negative thoughts, and instead of focusing on what you should be, you're thinking, I should make time to read that. Oh, okay, I'll just do it after I get back from this networking event, or tonight after Billy's band concert, I'll try to get to that article. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait, what was I working on? I was doing something else. I need to come back to it. So those negative thoughts tear you away from what you should be focusing on at any particular moment. My clients are sort of the same, and I wanted to share a story of one of my clients. So she owns a marketing firm, and her husband is an investment advisor, and she works out of her home office. So between the two of them, they subscribe to 3 monthly magazines, 2 weeklies, as well as the New York Times and their local paper. Now, she craves information. She's a marketing person. She really likes to know what people are interested in and what's going on in the world. So she's constantly clipping information, whether she clips it from paper form or electronic form. She's just collecting information. And she's relatively organized, but this reading pile just kept eluding her. So when I first met with her, I noticed that she had large stacks of magazines from everything from cooking to her alumni magazines, to magazines like Time and Consumer Reports, as well as magazines and other information. She also had an inbox filled with non-actionable emails, and they were cluttering her mind each time she opened it. So she'd open her inbox, she'd see the unread emails, feel guilty, say, I'm going to do this afternoon, I'm going to carve out the time to go through these things that I need to read, but somehow, of course, she never got to it. So what we did in working together, the first thing we did was we cut down the number of magazines that she subscribed to. And we also systematically removed her from many of the lists that she was subscribed to via email. And we created some rules about the ones that she was keeping, about where they would go in her email management system. And we also created a to-read folder that was electronic as well as one in the real world. Now, what she also did was that she found that Fridays tended to be an office day for her. That was sort of a quieter day where she did sort of a catch-up day in her office. And she calendared a half-hour weekly appointment to get through some of her reading as well as choose items to read over the weekend while she was sitting on her porch with a glass of wine in hand. That was her relaxing reading time. And she found that she actually retained a lot more information because she was actually reading stuff in a place where she wasn't distracted and had all these interruptions, and so it was just a system that worked for her. So that was her solution, but she got there not before spending many years in denial. She fell into this sort of myth trap. It's a common practice and one that I see far too often with my own clients or people just that I meet. And the excuses really fall into 3 areas. So the first one is that someday I'll be caught up and be able to get to all this reading. Until then, I'll just keep adding to it. Well, as many of you know, I mean, in my own life, I can't find more time. I just keep feeling like more things are added to my plate, not things being taken away. So that someday time is probably pretty unlikely. There's always going to be more pressing issues than your reading pile. So you need to make a plan now to manage your reading if it's really important to you and to your career. The second excuse that I see a lot is someday I might need this. Saving information because someday you might need it is really short-sighted. So in reality, 80% of the information that we keep is never looked at again. It's the primary reason for overstuffed file cabinets and bookshelves, as well as hard drives that are overloaded with unnecessary information. So why do you want to spend time, energy, and money filing and managing information that's quickly outdated given our ever-changing landscape, things are changing all the time, or applying that same time, energy, and money to dealing with information that you can likely get again through an internet search or from a colleague? It just takes up a lot of, it just wastes a lot of time and energy. And then the last excuse is, I can keep everything I want to read because it's digital anyway. Well, what the advent of cheap and ubiquitous storage has done for us is it's made us really lazy. You don't know what to do with something, and you don't have time to read it, so you just, with the click of a button, move it out of the way. And the same thing happens in the real world. You know, you have something you don't know what to do with, so you put it down and then say, I'll deal with this later, and pretty soon one piece of paper becomes two, then four, then 16, and the piles keep growing. So delayed decisions are the primary cause of clutter, whether it's in paper or electronic form. And when you have too much electronic information, you still need to spend time managing it, and you also need to know a good way to search for it when you need it, because what's the purpose of having something if you can't find it when you need it? If you don't know the correct keyword to search on, what happens is you waste a lot of time looking through this useless data to find the one piece of information that you need, and too much information on your hard drive can slow your search down. So simply saving e-zines, e-books, and other electronic information just because you can, because storage is cheap, isn't a great habit to get into. So those are some of the myths, and now we're going to talk about prioritizing your reading so you can get it under control. If you think about the reasons that most people read, there's a couple of reasons people have reading material. They have it for research, you want to stay current, maybe you just like reading for pleasure, or you need to read as it relates to your job, or you're trying to develop a new skill. You want to learn how to cook, you want to learn how to use social media better, and you have reading materials related to that, those particular areas. So knowing the why are you reading these materials, is going to help you to prioritize and know what's important in your life. But in order to be realistic, you also have to know sort of where you are in your life. Now, I work with a lot of female small business owners, and they often have children and are also responsible for managing their home life as well as keeping on top of their business. Quiet moments for them are few and far between, and they just don't have a lot of time for reading. So they have to be really strategic and about what they plan to read and when they plan to do it. Now, on the other hand, I also have a client who's a senior executive at a company, and he travels a ton. So his reading times are a lot greater because he has time waiting for planes, time on the plane, as he's being driven from meeting to meeting. He has a lot of reading time. So his inventory of reading material can be a lot greater than that of my female small business owner clients. But in both cases, they had to come up with a system and a plan that worked for them so that they could get to their reading. And what worked for one person, like the female small business owner, wasn't necessarily what was going to work for the senior executive. So you sort of have to look at your own situation and come up with a plan for you. So we're going to, for just about 30 seconds, I'm going to give you guys a few moments to jot down some of the reasons that you read so you can get an idea of the areas in your life that you're trying to manage reading for. Is it for your job? Is it for different aspects of your job? And this is going to really help you when you're designing your own plan or system for managing your reading. So I'm going to just be silent for like 20 to 30 seconds, and maybe you guys can just write down the areas that you're collecting reading for. Okay, so you can keep adding to that list, but I just wanted to get you started with jotting some ideas about how you're going to prioritize your reading. And I'll be talking about solutions in a moment, but I just want to mention that, as you can see from what I've said already, that reading is really a time management issue. You need a good system that allows you to read what you want and need to read, given the objectives of your reading materials and your personal life situation or the amount of time that you have available. Again, if you look back to the female small business owner versus the company executive, different amounts of time and how they're going to go about it. And the system's not just going to happen on its own. If reading is important to you, then you need to make the time. Hoping and praying that you're going to have the time or find the time just doesn't work. And a lot of people that I work with, they think that all of a sudden they'll just find this time, and it just doesn't happen. Now, before we move into the solutions, if you guys can indulge me a little bit in my marketing, and this is also the part where you might get a little reward, I'm going to ask you to go to my Facebook page, and that's on your handout. It's facebook.com/moretimeforyou, and post your favorite organization or productivity tool. It can be an app, a piece of hardware, a desktop tool. And from all the people who post on Twitter or Facebook, I am going to do a little drawing after this is over, and I'll announce it later on for a $25 Amazon gift card. So go ahead and share your productivity tools, and while you're on my page, you can go ahead and like it, and then you can come back to there and see what other people are using to keep their lives sort of more sane. I posted my own posting up there, and my two favorite tools for being more organized and productive are Calendly and Evernote, because Evernote allows me to really collect a lot of information. And then I use Calendly because it makes my Google Calendar, my smartphone, much more usable and provides a better interface. So if you can take a minute to do that, that would be great. Okay, so I'm looking for people. If you are interested in the $25 Amazon gift card, go ahead and post, and then we'll move on. Okay, so now we're going to come up with solutions for how to manage your reading. And basically, there's seven of them that I'm going to give you today. The first is acknowledging that you can't read it all. I've already talked to you about the large amount of reading that you deal with, and you didn't really probably have to even be on this call to know that there's more than you can handle. Once you acknowledge that not everything is going to get read, and in truth, not everything really needs to be read, you're going to be a lot better off. So as the adage says, the first step is admitting that you have a problem. Go ahead and admit that you can't read it all, and be okay with that so you can move forward and do something about it. Be okay that not everything has to be perfect and you don't have to know everything, because that perfectionism is just going to keep you from moving forward and making progress. You're going to just be drowning in those negative thoughts and not moving forward with an action. The second solution is really about paring down your reading. So whenever I approach a particular organizing project, I always start with whether it's helping someone with time management or helping someone with physical organization. It's really about getting rid of the excess, getting rid of the unnecessary. So paring things down, the same is true in your reading materials. And the tip that I'm going to use for this comes from a colleague, Abby Marks-Beal. Now, in order to use this tip, I have to read a little blurb about her, so bear with me for a minute. She's America's number one speed reading expert and has taught speed reading for the past 25 years, and is the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Speed Reading and 10 Days to Faster Reading. She's also the creator of RevitUp Reading, the online speed reading course, and you can find more information at revitupreading.com. So her solution for paring down your reading is to take out a piece of paper, or better yet, on your computer, jot down all of the reading materials you receive for 1 month. You want to include newspapers, magazines, professional journals, newsletters, email newsletters, and things like that. So anything that's coming into your world. And then on a scale of 1 to 10, you're going to rate those items where 1 is low and 10 is high, and just give it a value. So any item whose value is under a 6 should be reevaluated and then deleted, unsubscribed, thrown away, anything to get rid of it or keep it from coming into your purview to begin with. Now, if you don't want to do this for a month because that sort of is going to take a long time, you can just start with your current pile. Again, when I work with people, we don't start with the backlog. We start with what's in front of them now. So if you look at the piles that are on your desk, or maybe you have a stack of magazines sitting next to your bed on your nightstand. Start there and just go through those and apply the same value system. Give some things anywhere from a 1 to 10, and the low items need to go away. Now, what Abby Marks Beal says is that if you have 5 or more unread back issues of any one publication, chances are you probably don't have the time to read it, and you're not going to make the time, and you don't value it, so it's probably good to get rid of it. Now, I'm going to take her suggestion one step further and apply what's called the Art of Waste Basketry. This is a system that I learned through my association with the Productive Environment Institute, and it's a philosophy that I apply with my clients on all different kinds of clutter. So the Art of Waste Basketry is just a series of questions that you can ask about anything that's sort of cluttering your area, and it can be used with reading as well. So the first question, is it recent enough to be useful? So if you have a piece of information that you're wondering about and our landscape is changing all the time of what's important or what's relevant, if something isn't useful anymore, then you can probably get rid of it. Could you get it again? Is this reading material something that you could get again from a simple internet search or for someone else that you know? And if you can, it's a good idea to get rid of it. Is there a specific use for this reading? You know, does it relate to a particular project that you're working on? If so, great, then you want to keep it. But if you can't think of a specific use, then maybe you should get rid of it because you'll probably be able to get that same information again. It'll come back to you at another time. And then the last question is, what's the worst possible scenario if I did not read this? So if you didn't read this particular book or article or e-zine or whatever, could you live with that you might not know about that one particular thing or have that one particular quote exactly as it is in there? If you can live with it, then unsubscribe, delete, get rid of it, and not even have it in your world. So that's solution number 2. Moving on to number 3, schedule your reading time. As I mentioned with my marketing consulting client, so she found a time that worked for her. She found that Friday afternoon time and the time on the weekend to make that her reading time. But you need to make an appointment with yourself that works for you to get through some of this reading material. It can be 10 minutes in the afternoon or a large chunk once a week, whatever works for your schedule. But you need to block that time in your calendar and value that time. It's just as important as if you were making an appointment with someone else. Put it on your calendar at a time that you think that you can hold to it on a pretty regular basis and stick to that. And then on top of that, or in lieu of, look at where there might be reading times that are good for your life. So a lot of people read right before bed. Some people are more morning people where they like that quiet time in the morning when they first get up and they use that as their reading time. And then some people just like a break in the middle of the day. If you're someone who's in meetings all the time and you come back to your office and you just want to sort of relax for a few minutes, that might be a good time to get to some of your reading in the middle of the day. And then finally, there's commuting time. So some people, that's a great time if you have a long commute to get caught up on some of your reading and have it available to you when you're commuting. The fourth solution is identify your favorite reading spots and plan to have your reading with you when you're there. I sort of just mentioned the commuting, you know, having your reading with you. For me, I really like to read on my porch, like on Saturday, sometimes in the late afternoon after I've been running around with my kids all over the place, and then we have a few minutes in between. I might just go out on the back porch and I'll grab some of the things that I need to get through and maybe spend like 20 to 30 minutes just reading a couple things that I need to get to. If you're someone who has a lot of meetings that you attend and you're always waiting sort of between meetings, having your reading with you there, you can, you know, in 5 or 10 minutes you can get through a couple of articles or a couple things that might be in your electronic to read file and get through those. And then the third thing or another place that you can have your reading is I often see this when I work with clients. And their offices will come across a pile of reading, and I say, where do you do your reading? And they answer with, well, usually in the bathroom. So what we'll do is we'll set up a magazine rack or something like that in their bathroom, and then they just need to make a point to get their reading to that spot, and then they can get to their reading because that's where they do their reading. So whatever works for you, set up a spot that is for your reading and make sure your reading gets there so you can get it done. The next solution is about triaging your reading so you can find it when you need it. there's a lot of information that you get to that pertains to a particular meeting, project, maybe a speech that you're giving, and you only need it, you need to have read it right before then or by a particular date so that you can share the information. So that might go into some kind of tickler or date file so that you read it by a particular point in time and you have it when you need it. Now you can do that with a physical tickler file or just some kind of note on your calendar that you need, you know, to remind you that you need to read something by a particular date. And this is what's called sort of just-in-time reading. So these are things that, like, where maybe you've come across something, you scan the table of contents, and you're saying, that sounds really interesting, it might relate to this, so I should keep it and have it where I need it. So for this talk, when I was finding things that were related to reading, if I found a particular article, I just put it in the project folder related to this talk, and then I had it with me when I was trying to put the talk together. So grouping this reading with the particular project is going to make it possible for you to find it when you need it versus it just lying in a stack of reading materials. The next solution is about making your reading portable. So we all are aware of iPads, Kindles, and other kinds of readers, and those have really cut down on the amount of clutter that we have in terms of reading materials. Now, some people, though, don't like reading everything in electronic form, so I'm not saying that you should go completely paperless with your reading material, but there's a lot of things that you can get in electronic form. So sometimes if I see a magazine article that's in a print form that I'm interested in, I'll oftentimes go to that magazine's website and find it there in electronic form, and then I don't have to have that paper cluttering my physical world, and I can search for it later. I'll use things like, I use Evernote, as I said, it's one of my favorite tools, and that's a lot of times where I'll find information, I'll clip it to Evernote, and then it's searchable through just a keyword search, or if it's in a notebook of a particular topic that I want to find, that helps it to be portable, so when I am between meetings or somewhere on the go, I have my reading with me. There's other apps for clipping information or for things that you want in electronic form. There's Instapaper, Read It Later, Evernote I mentioned, and OneNote. And then also to keep your reading portable, there's things, if you do have things that are in physical form, some people don't like to read really big documents in electronic form, so creating a physical to read file that you have in your briefcase or computer bag, you come across something, you just put it in this to read file to read when you're on the go or when you're traveling or something like that, and then you have things with you. And then the last solution is about improving your reading speed. So I already mentioned Abby Markspiel. There's also Evelyn Wood, for those of you, I'm going to date myself, who remember from, I think it was the 70s or 80s, there used to be the Evelyn Wood speed reading commercials where the hand was flying across the page. But that's another person that does speed reading, and there's also Tony Buzan, B-U-Z-A-N. But basically, if you Google any of these people and go to their sites, what you can do there is you can find information about improving your reading speed. And the first thing that you want to do is probably test your reading speed. That's going to help you to understand what's a reasonable amount of time that you can, your reading is realistic. You know, if your pile's huge and you're really a slow reader, you're probably not going to get to as much as you think that you are. So knowing your reading speed is going to help you to understand how much reading you can actually get done. And if you invest in a speed reading course, it's going to save you time down the line. You might pay now, but you're going to reduce the cost later of the time that it takes you to get through your reading. So those are the seven solutions. Your next actions, just to summarize the tips that I gave you, are going to be to identify your best time reading and block those times on your calendar. You want to prioritize your reading, so making sure that you can find it when you need it. Get rid of the outdated or low-value items to you. You want to create a portable reading system and make it a habit to always have it with you. And then the fourth next action is looking into speed reading and see if that's something that you want to invest time and money into to increase your reading speed. So just to close out, I just want to mention that this call is being recorded and it's going to be available for downloading. I will try to get it out to you via email shortly. And then when I send out the email, you, as part of this call, I'm going to be giving out an offer to you, which is the Quick Path to Better Time Management and Productivity, which is basically a one-hour, one-to-one coaching session at a discounted rate, only available to people that are on the call. So I look forward to talking to you or hearing from some of you with any questions that you might have. And I thank you for being on the call. Have a great day.
Well, thank you very much, Lori, and it has been a pleasure working with you, and those are some wonderful tips. And as I noted on Twitter, too, a lot of what you're talking about goes beyond reading. So I imagine that you can bring a whole lot of value to people's lives in terms of their reading and their productivity. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you, David. Take care, everyone.